Welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show. This is Dr. Mystery, your host, joined as always by my co-host, the very funny Donna Lee.
Host.
called you a co-horse.
You were German for a moment.
Haas.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show.
This show is brought to you by the urology practice that I started in 2007. We are all over Central Texas, really just all over Austin. I wouldn't say all over Central Texas. We're all over Austin.
Well, it's perspective.
It's a perspective, that's right. Austin is the center of Texas, though.
So. That's right. If you're in South Austin, you need to go to our Round Rock location. No, that's Central Texas.
That's Central Texas. So, Donna, how do people get a hold of us and how do they make visits?
All over Central Texas. You can call us at 512-238-0762. Our website, armormenshealth.com. Submit your questions. We love these questions. And we are, like we said, Round Rock, North Austin, South Austin, and Dripping Springs, Texas.
When you come and see us as a patient, and we had a patient that came just yesterday from Wyoming for a vasectomy.
Really?
After hearing our vasectomy piece.
Did we tell him that he didn't have to travel that far, or we said, hey, you get a free t-shirt?
Yeah, we did give him a free t-shirt, luckily, for making the trip. But wow. He wanted IV sedation. He wanted the mystery vasectomy. He wanted a single incision, no metal clip vasectomy.
Nice.
So for those of you out there contemplating a vasectomy, we would encourage you to come in. People are coming from all over the country. That
really?
Isn't even the farthest. We had a guy that came from Oregon 2 years ago. We had this guy from Wyoming. And then about 10 years ago, we had a guy come all the way from Saudi Arabia.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive travel.
It's funny you say that because I just talked to somebody. I do have a question for you, but if you answer this first one quickly, then maybe we can get into the second question.
Totally.
Regarding vasectomies, let's say a friend of mine who wants her husband to have a vasectomy, and he's ready to have a vasectomy, but he won't. He keeps putting it off because he's worried about his quote-unquote manhood disappearing. Why did you guys think that? They think their sex is going to be different. They think the ejaculation is going to be different.
Well, just the idea of having a man handle you that way.
And your handles, your big hands.
I mean, I'm an expert and I'm very gentle.
Well, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
I have seen your vasectomy. It is very nice.
Very gentle. And so I think that there's so many things.
It's when you cup the testicles for no reason that I appreciate it. You're like, oh, look at these little guys. And you flutter your fingers.
See what I'm saying? Is that kind of statements that make men think that somehow they're less of a man because they let somebody touch them.
They might like it.
But really there is the baseline kind of anthropological issue here, which is that we were put on earth as animals to procreate.
Mm-hmm.
And we are somehow not going to procreate anymore. And so does having a vasectomy take away a little bit of your manhood? In the same way, women often feel that way after a hysterectomy. Mm. So it's in no way is it like unique, and in no ways is it kind of really abnormal to feel that. However, children are expensive, and women oftentimes don't do well on contraceptives. So either you have to wear a condom, which people don't want to do either.
Right.
Like, so then it's about choosing the least of all evils.
Which is a
vasectomy. More kids, crazy wife, oral contraceptives, or a condom.
Uh-oh.
And so when you have to weigh all these different options, sometimes a vasectomy seems like a really good option for you.
And it's so easy.
We are seeing so many young men today that have no kids that are interested in having a vasectomy. And we are open to that. If you're over the age of 18 and you can medically consent for yourself, we will do a single visit, no scalpel, IV sedation vasectomy. We encourage you to come on board. What's the question, Donna?
My PSA is slowly climbing based on quarterly measurements. At some point, is it possible that I will need treatment? To that end, I noticed lots of TV advertisings in the past about CyberKnife technology and wondering more about that for prostate cancer. I do not know anything about this mechanism, and is it premature to assume that its efficacy is high? He is interested in CyberKnife, he continues, but wants to know your thoughts, and he wants to ask for the listeners, and he appreciates your show.
Well, that's excellent. So the first question is, what do we do about PSAs that are rising?
Mm-hmm.
And the second question is specifically about treatment for prostate cancer with a treatment called CyberKnife. The first thing I'll say is the PSA is a blood test that measures a protein that's made by the prostate. This protein actually has a purpose.
Right.
The PSA actually is the protein that helps semen break down from solid to liquid. So if you've ever really examined your ejaculate, you may notice that sometimes it comes out very gooey, and then it has to liquefy. And the PSA is what helps liquefy the semen after it comes out of you.
Is it normal to be gooey or liquefied? Which
it doesn't matter, but in order for it to function, it has to be liquefied.
I see.
It can come out liquefied or it can come out gooey, but it better get liquefied pretty quick or else it'll slip out of the vagina and won't be able to fulfill its purpose.
I see.
So that is the purpose of the PSA. Years ago, they noticed that a PSA over 4 was a sign that you may have prostate cancer. And in general, the studies show that a PSA over 4 affords about a 40% chance of having prostate cancer.
Over 4, 40% chance.
That's correct.
Okay.
So when you're in that grouping, then a prostate biopsy or some type of sampling of the prostate could be in order. The younger you are, the lower the PSA should be. So if you're in your 40s, the PSA should be around 2. And if you're in your 70s, sometimes we allow your PSA to drift up to 6.
Oh.
Now, in our practice, of course, we are trying to find prostate cancer. So I will usually, if you're young, have a lower threshold, but anything over 4, usually I will biopsy it if I think you're healthy enough to undergo it.
Okay.
We will do an MRI. We can even do some more advanced PSA tests. But if your PSA is rising, and a rising PSA of anything more than 0.75 in any given year would be considered highly abnormal and worthy of an evaluation. And that's kind of what we would expect as a abnormal rise. Mm-hmm. But if your PSA is rising and approaching 4, then I think a urologic evaluation is fully warranted. The next question is, what are your treatment options after being diagnosed with prostate cancer? And first, we do tests to make sure that it's localized to the prostate. We want to make sure that it hasn't gone outside of the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
Next, if it has not gone outside of the prostate, in our practice, we offer 3 treatments. We offer radical prostatectomy, which is to remove the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
Then we offer HIFU, or high-intensity focused ultrasound, that burns the prostate while it's in your body and is best for treatment of cancer that's only in one area.
Mm-hmm.
So we call that focal treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And the third treatment is radiation therapy for prostate cancer. And if you've been listening to the show, we've had three great radiation oncologists, in fact. You mm-hmm. can search them up. Courtney Scheinbein with Texas Oncology.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had Dr. Paimon Ghafouri and Dr. Doug Rivera. So mm-hmm. 3 radiation oncologists with previous podcasts that have discussed the ins and outs of radiation therapy. Dr. Doug Rivera is the one that currently in Austin does CyberKnife.
Mm-hmm.
CyberKnife sounds amazing. It's this fancy way of doing things. But in fact, almost all machines can do what CyberKnife does. So almost all radiation oncologists can offer something called SBRT therapy.
And
that is where you do the therapy. It's high volume,
mm-hmm.
short course treatment. So they can usually do it within 2 weeks or 5 treatments. You can get the whole thing done, where traditional radiation therapy will take 45 treatments in 9 weeks.
Okay.
Now, I have them on, they're friends of mine, and I trust them to make the best decisions for their patients.
Right.
Okay? And so we send them all the time. My own personal opinion is that there's probably some difference between 5 treatments and 45 treatments.
Oh, you think?
Probably something, right? And I think
it's called 40 treatments.
And listening to the Beatles is great. I'm not sure it's better to listen to the Beatles louder. So by turning the intensity and the energy delivery up for these technologies, I personally think that you might not be getting something for nothing, meaning that there might be increased urgency and frequency and increased risk of, you know, other things that might get affected by the radiation. So my own personal advice to my patients, as well as to my own family members, is just to, if you don't have anywhere to be, then just do the 45 days. They're nice to you.
Mm.
It's quick in and out. You get to ring a bell at the end. I mean, you know, so if you have cancer and you need to do radiation, you'll become friends over there. And 45 treatments, I think, has really low complication rates. And if you're sitting at home and you're 70-year-old and you're retired, I mean,
what else
aren't you looking for something to do?
Oh.
let's go for 9 weeks. You know, 5
treatments. Pop in your Netflix on your phone.
That's not to say people don't do well with CyberKnife. And obviously, you know, they're there. And if I trust Dr. Rivera to take care of you, that means I trust him to give you advice. And if you think that CyberKnife is best for you, then I'll be fully supportive of it.
All right.
But as I give advice to patients and to family, I tend to push more towards the standard IMRT, which takes 45 treatments traditionally. And there's little nuances here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been diagnosed with prostate cancer, you should come to us for a second opinion. We don't own a radiation machine, which means that I'm not financially motivated one way or the other.
Yeah.
So if, you know, if you're going to a urologist and they get financially motivated to send you to a particular radiation machine, you got to think about that. Maybe there's something that could be, you know, filtering their advice to you.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to see you as a second opinion. I think everybody with prostate cancer should get a second opinion. Donna, how do people get that second opinion?
You can get your second opinion or first opinion by calling us at 512-238-0762 during the week. And you can check out our website, armormenshealth.com. Check out our podcast wherever you listen to free podcasts. And thank you again, Dr. Mystery.
Thank you, Donna.
The Armor Men's Health Show is brought to you by NAU Urology Specialists. For questions or to schedule an appointment, please call 512-238-0762 or online at armormenshealth.com.